Chapter 22. To pass for a whore here, so I let that go. I told her it was true, as she said, but that, however, if I must tell her my case, I must tell it her as it was. So I related it to her as short as I could, and I concluded it to her thus. I trouble you with all this, madam, apostrophe said I, not that, as you said before, it is much to the purpose in your affair, but this is to the purpose, namely, that I am not in any pain about being seen, or being public or concealed, for it is perfectly indifferent to me. But my difficulty is, that I have no acquaintance in this part of the nation. Apostrophe, I understand you, madam, says she. You have no security to bring to prevent the parish impertinence as usual in such cases, and perhaps, apostrophe says she, do not know very well how to dispose of the child when it comes. Apostrophe the last, apostrophe says I, is not so much my concern as the first. Apostrophe well, madam, apostrophe answered the midwife, dare you put yourself into my hands? I live in such a place. Though I do not inquire after you, you may inquire after me. My name is B. I live in such a street, naming the street at the sign of the cradle. My profession is a midwife, and I have many ladies that come to my house to lie in. I have given security to the parish in general terms to secure them from any charge from whatsoever shall come into the world under my roof. I have but one question to ask in the whole affair, madam, apostrophe says she, and if that be answered you shall be entirely easy for all the rest. Apostrophe, I presently understood what she meant, and told her, madam, I believe I understand you. I thank God, though I want friends in this part of the world, I do not want money, so far as may be necessary, though I do not abound in that neither. This I added, because I would not make her expect great things. Well, madam, apostrophe says she, that is the thing indeed, without which nothing can be done in these cases, and yet, apostrophe says she, you shall see, that I will not impose upon you, or offer anything that is unkind to you, and if you desire it, you shall know everything beforehand, that you may suit yourself to the occasion, and be neither costly or sparing as you see fit. Apostrophe, I told her she seemed to be so perfectly sensible of my condition, that I had nothing to ask of her but this, that as I had told her, that I had money sufficient, but not a great quantity, she would order it, so that I might be at as little superfluous charge as possible. She replied that she would bring in an account of the expenses of it in two or three shapes, and like a bill of fare, I should choose as I pleased. And I desired her to do so. The next day she brought it, and the copy of her three bills was as follows. 1. For 3 months lodging in her house, including my diet, attends. A week. .. 6 numbers 0s. 0d, 2. For a nurse for the month, and use of child bed linen. .. 1 number 10s. 0d, 3. For a minister to christen the child, and to the godfathers and clerk. .. 1 number 10s. 0d, 4. For a supper at the christening, if I had 5 friends at it. .. 1 number 0s. 0d, for her fees as a midwife, and the taking off the trouble of the parish. .. 3 number 3s. 0d, to her maid servant attending. .. 0 number 10s. 0d, 13 number, 13s. 0d, this was the first bill, the second was the same terms. 1. For 3 months lodging and diet, etc., a 20s per week. .. 13 number 0s. 0d, 2. For a nurse for the month, and the use of linen and lace. .. 2 number 10s. 0d, 3. For the minister to christen the child, etc., as above. Two number zeros. 0D4. For supper and for sweetmeats. Three number threes. 0D for her fees as above. Five number fives. 0D for a servant maid. One number zeros. 0D, 26 number, 18s. 0D, this was the second rate bill. The third, she said, was for a degree higher, and when the father or friends appeared. 1. For 3 months lodging and diet, having two rooms and a garret for a servant. .30 number zeros. 0D, comma, 2. For a nurse for the month, and the finest suit of childbed linen. Four number fours. 0D3. For the minister to christen the child, etc. Two number tens. 0D4. For a supper, the gentleman to send in the wine. Six number zeros. 0D for my fees, etc. 10 number tens. 0D the maid, besides their own maid, only. 0 number tens. 0D 53 number 14s. 0D, I looked upon all three bills, and smiled, and told her I did not see, but that she was very reasonable in her demands, all things considered, and for that I did not doubt, but her accommodations were good. She told me I should be judge of that when I saw them. I told her I was sorry to tell her, that I feared I must be her lowest rated customer. And perhaps, madam, apostrophe said I, you will make me the less welcome upon that account. Apostrophe no, not at all, apostrophe said she, for where I have one of the third sort I have two of the second, and four to one of the first, and I get as much by them in proportion as by any. But if you doubt my care of you, I will allow any friend you have to overlook and see if you are well waited on or no. Apostrophe, then she explained the particulars of her bill. In the first place, madam, apostrophe said she, I would have you observe, that here is 3 months keeping, you are but 10 shillings a week. I undertake to say you will not complain of my table. I suppose, apostrophe says she, you do not live cheaper where you are now? Apostrophe no, indeed, apostrophe said I, not so cheap, for I give 6 shillings per week for my chamber, and find my own diet as well as I can, which costs me a great deal more. Apostrophe then, madam, apostrophe says she, if the child should not live, or should be dead born, as you know sometimes happens, then there is the minister's article saved. And if you have no friends to come to you, you may save the expense of a supper, so that take those articles out, madam, apostrophe says she, your lying in will not cost you above number 5 threes, in all more than your ordinary charge of living. Apostrophe, this was the most reasonable thing that I ever heard of, so I smiled, and told her I would come, and be her customer. But I told her also, that as I had 2 months and more to do, I might perhaps be obliged to stay longer with her than 3 months, and desired to know, if she would not be obliged to remove me before it was proper. No, she said. Her house was large, and besides, she never put anybody to remove, that had lain in, till they were willing to go, and if she had more ladies offered, she was not so ill-beloved among her neighbors. But she could provide accommodations for 20, if there was occasion. I found she was an eminent lady in her way, and, in short, I agreed to put myself into her hands, and promised her. She then talked of other things, looked about into my accommodations where I was, found fault with my wanting attendance and conveniences, and that I should not be used so at her house. I told her I was shy of speaking, for the woman of the house looked stranger, or at least I thought so, since I had been ill, because I was with child, and I was afraid she would put some affront or other upon me, supposing that I had been able to give but a slight account of myself. Oh dear, apostrophe said she, her ladyship is no stranger to these things. She has tried to entertain ladies in your condition several times, but she could not secure the parish, and besides, she is not such a nice lady as you take her to be. However, since you are a-going, you shall not meddle with her, but I'll see you are a little better looked after while you are here than I think you are, and it shall not cost you the more neither. Apostrophe, I did not understand her at all. However, I thanked her, and so we parted. The next morning she sent me a chicken roasted and hot, and a pint bottle of sherry, and ordered the maid to tell me that she was to wait on me every day, as long as I stayed there. This was surprisingly good and kind, and I accepted it very willingly. At night she sent to me again, to know if I wanted anything, and how I did, and to order the maid to come to her in the morning with my dinner. The maid had orders to make me some chocolate in the morning before she came away, and did so, and at noon she brought me the sweetbread of a breast of veal, whole, and a dish of soup for my dinner. And after this manner she nursed me up at a distance, so that I was mightily well pleased, and quickly well, for indeed my dejections before were the principal part of my illness. I expected, as is usually the case among such people, that the servant she sent me would have been some imprudent brazen wench of Drury Lane breeding, and I was very uneasy at having her with me upon that account. So I would not let her lie in that house the first night by any means, but had my eyes about me as narrowly as if she had been a public thief. My gentlewoman guessed presently what was the matter, and sent her back with a short note, that I might depend upon the honesty of her maid, that she would be answerable for her upon all accounts, and that she took no servants into her house without very good security for their fidelity. I was then perfectly easy. And indeed the maid's behavior spoke for itself, for a modester, quieter, soberer girl never came into anybody's family, and I found her so afterwards. As soon as I was well enough to go abroad, I went with the maid to see the house, and to see the apartment I was to have, and everything was so handsome, and so clean and well, that, in short, I had nothing to say, but was wonderfully pleased and satisfied with what I had met with, which, considering the melancholy circumstances I was in, was far beyond what I looked for. It might be expected that I should give some account of the nature of the wicked practices of this woman, in whose hands I was now fallen, but it would be too much encouragement to the vice to let the world see what easy measures were here taken to rid the women's unwelcome burthen of a child clandestinely gotten. This grave matron had several sorts of practice, and this was one particular, that if a child was born, though not in her house, for she had occasion to be called to many private labors, she had people at hand, who for a piece of money would take the child off their hands, and off from the hands of the parish too. And those children, as she said, were honestly provided for and taken care of. What should become of them all, considering so many, as by her account she was concerned with, I cannot conceive. I had many times discourses upon that subject with her, but she was full of this argument, that she saved the life of many an innocent lamb, as she called them, which would otherwise perhaps have been murdered, and of many women who, made desperate by the misfortune, would otherwise be tempted to destroy their children, and bring themselves to the gallows. I granted her that this was true, and a very commendable thing, provided the poor children fell into good hands afterwards, and were not abused, starved, and neglected by the nurses that bred them up. She answered that she always took care of that, and had no nurses in her business, but what were very good honest people, and such as might be depended upon. I could say nothing to the contrary, and so was obliged to say, Madam, I do not question you do your part honestly, but what those people do afterwards is the main question. And she stopped my mouth again with saying that she took the utmost care about it. The only thing I found in all her conversation on these subjects that gave me any distaste was that one time in discouraging about my being far gone with child, and the time I expected to come, she said something that looked as if she could help me off with my burthen sooner if I was willing, or, in English, that she could give me something to make me miscarry if I had a desire to put an end to my troubles that way. But I soon let her see that I abhorred the thoughts of it, and, to do her justice, she put it off so cleverly that I could not say she really intended it, or whether she only mentioned the practice as a horrible thing, for she couched her words so well, and took my meaning so quickly, that she gave her negative before I could explain myself. To bring this part into as narrow a compass as possible, I quitted my lodging at St. John's, and went to my new governess, for so they called her in the house, and there I was indeed treated with so much courtesy, so carefully looked to, so handsomely provided, and everything so well, that I was surprised at it, and could not at first see what advantage my governess made of it. But I found afterwards that she professed to make no profit of lodgers' diet, nor indeed could she get much by it, but that her profit lay in the other articles of her management, and she made enough that way, I assure you, for 'tis scarce credible what practice she had, as well abroad as at home, and yet all upon the private account, or, in plain English, the whoring account. While I was in her house, which was near 4 months, she had no less than 12 ladies of pleasure brought to bed within the doors, and I think she had 32, or thereabouts, under her conduct without doors, whereof one, as nice as she was with me, was lodged with my old landlady at St. John's. This was a strange testimony of the growing vice of the age, and such a one, that as bad as I had been myself, it shocked my very senses. I began to nauseate the place I was in, and, about all, the wicked practice. And yet I must say, that I never saw, or do I believe there was to be seen, the least indecency in the house the whole time I was there. Not a man was ever seen to come upstairs, except to visit the lying-in ladies within their month, nor then without the old lady with them, who made it a piece of honor of her management, that no man should touch a woman, no, not his own wife, within the month, nor would she permit any man to lie in the house upon any pretense whatever, no, not though she was sure it was with his own wife. And her general saying for it was, that she cared not how many children were born in her house, but she would have none got there, if she could help it. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.